Mike Shuka is a retired teacher, natural philosopher, lover of family, books, the outdoors, travel, and life. He hopes to have some promise as a generator of small literary gems. He pursues this hope with passion and enthusiasm. Mike says he would settle for winning a lottery and buying a laptop so he can write wherever and whenever imagination permits. Mike.
What do we have, Dick? 5 minutes? Dick said last time that nobody really utilizes the time a lot, so I thought today I would make sure that you got your money's worth. All righty. We don't write everything from prompts. Sometimes we do. Other times we write, sometimes you end up with three prompts that you don't like any of them, so you just throw them all out and start from scratch with whatever comes to mind. Both of the poems I'm going to read came just kind of while I was fooling around writing stuff at home. First one is called Aging. I waste as I walk. My biceps have ruptured and will not be restored, as I am not young, not athletic, no career is at stake here, no glittering achievements brought into question. When you're old, you're expected to rot while standing, I guess, to fall apart on your feet little by little. Your life is over. Isn't that what you secretly thought when you were in all the arrogance of youth, contemplating the infirmities of the elderly at that time, no older than you are now? Aches and pains come and go mysteriously, lasting just as long as they please, and I ask no questions when they come, having learned long ago that questions are useless. Now I know I should just be grateful when they go. All my life I have shunted aside memories of facts and events that seem not to pertain to me, but held in mind sharp as a razor any fact that promised to be of use, or a story or an incident that struck my fancy. Now, my wife looks at me differently when I say, I don't remember, about things she learned long ago of a nature that rendered them of little interest to me, even if her view was the polar opposite of mine. It didn't signify she knew, but now I see the little crease of concern over her brow. She's thinking, is he going the way of his mom? Will I soon be left on my own with a fat, bald infant who can't go to the bathroom by himself? This next poem is kind of special. It's the only thing that I've ever written that the group applauded me for. And curiously, I thought it was curious. When we were getting ready to leave, Dick said something about finding an illustrator for children's stories. I said, I don't think that's that kind of a poem. It's called What's in a Drop with Apologies to Dr. Seuss, but it is not a poem for children. Actually, it's political. It also looks at the fine line between reality and insanity, and maybe the question should come to mind, which of those is best characterized in politics? When I was a young man, one day at the sink, I espied a lovely lone drop of drink. I looked much more closely, while obviously mostly H2O, within it by the minute, in my mind's eye, a whole world did grow. Minuscule creatures with very strange features lived in little creature houses, wore tiny skirts and blouses, drove miniature cars to places nears and fars, drove sometimes to schools. They wished for no fuels, no fools in their populace. No, they left that to us. Well, how could I know this? My head said to me. Is it not risible to elucidate the invisible and invest that small world with nicks and knacks you cannot observe? Then an answer came back, quick as a flash. You do know that universe there in the sink because you have seen it with your innermost think. It was then that I knew up my mind had been blew up. My brain was just hash. I felt my brain had split in twain, and my nobulous skull, with thinker most dull, was another who was witty, wise, clever, and quick, a bit out of control and more tricky than Dick. You have to have lived a while to get that reference. In a voice most thunderous, he told me of wondrous things I could think, of a world of perfection, a genuine reflection of human election for the best that is in us, and a turning away from behaviors that stink. I was enraptured. Surely now I had captured the ilk of those tiny creatures in a world no bigger than one drop of milk. It was real. It could be. It must. Were it not so, I felt, good endeavors must melt away, and all I strove for was dust. Now the world in the drop, investigating that, I no more could stop than I could pull the curious out of the cat. I must know all, I ranted. I've got to go to that little hive and see how diminutive creatures most small understand, see, do, and have all. I was flying then through a universe odd, though I knew it all, I remember, in September when I was tall. But now, as I flew, I suddenly knew and was thinking, I'm shrinking all over my bod. Up over the brink of the sink, into the abyss, and with a low hiss began the descent to learn what it meant to live life like that instead of like this. Nearing that drop with no way to stop, I thought, that bubble, my friend, could be big trouble, could be your end. Hit the thing screaming, was it nightmare or dreaming? Such a big hurry, no time to worry until I struck with a plop. Plop? Stop! Need I mention surface tension on top of a drop? I couldn't get in. No way to win my way into that world. When I was bounced and twirled like some macabre scene of a circus trampoline, it made me feel like a flag being curled and unfurled. Not in, not out, not out, not in. Neither here nor there. I hadn't a prayer of salvation now. Dull as a cow, I could barely think, how will I, here in this sink, pull back from the brink and save myself from insanity now? From somewhere in the deep recess of my brain came, like a wee light through a chink, give it up, man, what you sow you reap, imagine no more, and never ever think. I came to myself then by my kitchen countertop, saved from my imaginings about a small drop. Afraid to think then, a lesson learned true, keep a tight grip on your mind, it could happen to you. From that day onward, from that day to this, no more have I pondered, and while it hasn't been bliss, no more have I wandered so near to the brink of madness as I did that day at my sink. My story I told, both near and far, and one day there came, in a big costly car, some fine-looking folk in high-fashioned clothes. They had rings on their fingers and Gucci's on their toes. We want you, said they to me, to work for us, and we don't mean for free. Our masters have sent us. We are to find those of no conscience, those of no mind. We have heard you don't think, and so you must become a politico, the upper crust trusts. Our bosses, their children, and all of their mates would make you next president of the United States. Don't say you won't, you must say you will. Take gobs of their money, then sign every bill their fortunes pay for from the congressional mill. Your future is made, your star is set. Only one thing you must not forget, who buys you can break you without any sweat. I thanked him profusely and said, now use me any way that you will. Now wars go on wildly, whole nations face doom. Manly, womanly, childly, fated as dust before broom, are swept into poverty, sickness, and gloom. But do I care? Not in your tintype. I've been made aware the time is now ripe for me to flaunt my diamonds, Mercedes and mink. You see what is possible if you just never think.